Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit with great things in store for all who love Him. Those who will hear, everyone that has ears to hear will be blessed by the tremendous love of God. Everyone that has ears to hear, they are precious to God. Everyone is precious to God. Every soul. But if he know he can help you, he's going to do everything he can to do so. But he requires our response. When those that have a good heart, when they hear the voice of God, they always respond. Now, grace is a period of time, and grace has an ending point. And the Lord doesn't want to miss out on not one soul. Every soul is very precious to Him. That's why we have to forgive each other. Because He's given us a great salvation that we didn't earn. We couldn't pay for it. Gave it to us free. And He requires us to forgive others just like He forgave us. And we need to love others just like He loves us. And if you want to live the greatest life you can live is to love others the way God has loved you. See, every child of God is wealthy, very wealthy. We're wealthy in love. We have the love of God. You may not be wealthy in money and possessions, but we're wealthy in the God kind of love. The love we receive is the same love we can give. Now, we don't have to die for anybody to save them. We have to just tell them a story of the love of God, Jesus dying on the cross for all of us. And it changes lives. The least we could do is live the life of God so that people will have a chance to live. See, when you do what's right, the way you live, that's the first witness. That's the very first witness. No matter who believes what, the way you live and respond, the way you heal, the way you give, exposes the heart of God. So that others will have a chance to see. That's why we say your everyday routine can be ministry. Your everyday routine can be ministry. Now, the second witness is what God did for you and the things He's doing. As God continues to bless you in life, and He does, you can be a blessing to others, and you'll share what God did, and they'll be blessed. Now, Solomon pointed out in the book of Ecclesiastes that the same event happens to all. So to those who are wise and those who are foolish, the same things happen. To the point he asked, what's the advantage of being wise? But there's a great advantage of being wise. But remember now, in the book of Ecclesiastes, he's speaking about life disconnected from God. When he wrote the Proverbs, he was on God's side. He was in God's presence. But the years that he lived aside from God's presence, following out the idols because of his 1,000 wives, 300 wives and 700 concubines, that got him off track. As wise as he was way out of bounds because of those women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh. They turned his heart. But then there's a verse that says, so I return. Now when he returned, I hope that means that he came back on God's side and wrote about life while he was disconnected. When you're disconnected from God and not trying to live according to his word, things can seem very dim. And everyday life in the world system, disconnected with God, is vanity of vanities. He said all is vanity. That's what a man sees that have never been united with Christ. They've never been joined to the Lord through Christ. They don't experience the same things that people of God experience. There's no healing in their heart. They don't have a new heart. All they have is what they think they know. Illusions, satanic illusions. And they lead to nowhere, just like every false religion leads to nowhere but hell. Nowhere but hell. They don't lead to the euphoric places that they call heaven. They never go there. There's no paradise for them. Nothing but heat and no water. A disconnection. They follow a devil and they're going to get the same punishment that he gets. God made hell for Satan and all of his followers. So people don't set out to be Satan's followers, but because they don't get saved, they'll have the same fate as the one who deceived man off course. So if you listen to Satan, he becomes your Lord. If you follow Jesus Christ, if you come to the Father through Jesus Christ, then God is your Lord. Jesus is your Lord. Because God, we can worship Jesus because God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we can worship him. He's our God. And he's our Lord, if we want him to be. He's our Savior. If he's your Lord at all, it's because he's your Savior. And don't try to just make him be your Savior and not your Lord. Because then your life won't develop properly. If God can give you guidance and his commands and you'll obey him, then he's your Lord. In America, people are used to democracy. They get to be, they're the king, they're in charge, whatever they say goes. But God, the kingdom of God is a kingdom, and you have to do what the king say do. But he loves you, he's also your father, and you're a prince. He made you kings. And he gave you authority on earth. And then he gave you the ability, he made you a priest. You're a king and you're a priest. You can represent others to God. So when you live the life before people, you display the kindness and the honor of God, the love of God, the wisdom of God. Over time, people can read a book as they remember the way you live. And then when you talk about what God did for you, that's a strong witness. But if you're foolish, and if you do things the way of the world, and you don't, and you disregard God, and then you try to tell them about Jesus, it's not the same. And the third witness is when you're preaching. See, the way you preach, if it's different than the way you live, and if you're preaching good and living bad, you're hindering the process. But if you're living good according to God's word and you're preaching good according to God's word, then your life and your witness is strong and your testimony is strong. And hopefully nobody lives good and preach bad, but that won't work out too good either. You got to tell the truth about God. Some people do live good and they preach error because they learn wrong. Remember, every form of darkness need to be challenged by you. What do you believe and why? You need a challenge. Everything that you believe, it ought to be word-based. And if it's not of God's word, it need to be driven away from your life. It's as simple as that, folks. If God's not for it, you be against it. If God is for it, you be for it. But if God is not for it, be against it. Because it's wrong. And all the gray areas that's neither here or there, you'll have to deal with them according to your own will. You know, some people say, well, is it wrong to watch TV? Is it wrong to go to movies? That's neither here, that's up to you. If you feel like it's an edifying movie, that's fine. God don't care. If the movie bothers you in any way, then don't watch it. He's not going to come and spell everything out for you, but the Word of God is the Word of God. If you don't define the Word of God, it's up to you. You have a brain, you have wisdom, you have knowledge, and you can govern your own life. Our guide is the Word of God. God's not trying to get you. He's not trying to find a reason to keep you from going to heaven. The disqualifiers are written. Unforgiveness, strife, fornication, homosexuality. Those are the pride. The pride of life, of course. Not I'm proud of my child's A+. Or I'm proud of my son's football scores. But the pride of life. I'm better than you. I don't want anybody to be better than me. I want to be preeminent. That's pride of life. That leads to nothing but death. And God hates that sin. And as bad as lust is, he hates pride. And lust is a consumer. It takes you away from life. And see, when people watch your life, people that want to, they have a form, they want God's word, but there's a part of everybody that wants part of the world until they deal with the world system, until they see the evil of it. Sometimes people don't realize how bad the things of this world can be. And some people still have worldly desires. Even if they don't act on them, some sins they don't consider harmful as much as others. And some people are kind of neutral when it comes to some worldly things. But I'm going to tell you about the worldly things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. They harden your heart. Even the lust of the eye. Everything you see, you gotta have the newest car. When you can't rest because you don't have something, deal with it. You don't need props and crutches. When you're complete in Jesus Christ. You don't need props and crutches and candy toys. You don't need all those things. Now, what you truly desire, believe God for it, receive it, and just don't let it be a God to you. Don't let it be the focal point of your life. Just enjoy it as a blessing from God. That's all a car can be to you. That's all a home, a house can be. And we all want nice things. And we're going to be blessed with nice things. When you go to heaven, you're going to receive nice things. But enjoy the process of life. The lust of the eye, it'll take you away from the narrow path. You'll spend your time trying to attain things that really don't matter. But the problem with lust and ownership, that you can't be satisfied when you're in lust. Of anything you're lusting after, you can't be satisfied with it. And Solomon pointed that out in the book of Ecclesiastes. A man that loves silver can't be satisfied with silver. The lust of the eye. The same thing with the lust of the flesh. If you lust after a person, you can't be satisfied with that person or anybody like them. But when you love your spouse, when you love your family, there's great satisfaction there. And when you examine it, you'll find out the old preacher's not wrong about it. God is not wrong about the things he said. If you follow him thoroughly, if you endeavor to do all this that he's given you to do in the word, it's going to enrich your life. It's going to give you a great advantage. It's going to be a blessing and not a curse. And you're going to find all that he say to you as true. You're going to find it true. You're going to realize how wonderful the life of God really is. you'll receive revelation knowledge, and it'll make the difference. But when people, all the onlookers, all those who see you every day, your life, your everyday routine can be a message from the Lord. And the light you live, nobody can argue against it. And you'll see, you'll notice that people who used to argue all the time against your thoughts and opinions, they won't be able to argue against your life. When you continue, as you continually live according to God's word. And the enemy is going to try to slander and accuse, but when you live the light, you're exposed. And if anybody speak against you because you love the light, they'll be noted as being foolish to the point that they'll stop. They tried to trap Jesus in his words, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't find a method to accuse him. They couldn't trap him in his words, so they gave up. They stopped. They came to a point where they just stopped. And when they crucified him, they actually lied on him. They found people to lie and say that they heard him say something that he didn't say. That Caesar was not in charge. That he came to usurp Caesar's authority, which is not true. He didn't concern himself with Caesar. He said, in fact, he said, when they asked him about taxes, he said, give Caesar what's Caesar and give God what's God's. See, remember, he didn't come to change the political structure. And if when one country takes over another, the winning country still establishes order. So Rome it was necessary for Rome to exist so that there wouldn't be anarchy. It was better for Caesar to rule on earth, even over Israel, because than nobody. And Israel had went wrong. They were still in captivity. And they couldn't fight their way out because they needed God to do it. But they were back in their homeland. But they were disobedient. And disobedience is the first cause of poverty. But you're going to find all forms of success developing within and around your life as you obey the living word of God. Now, when people see your life being lived according to the word of God, the same healing process that you're experiencing will be something that they can experience. You're showing them the way of salvation. You're showing them the way of love. You're showing them hope. And they can see that you have peace and great joy. And they're going to want it in their lives. And then your children are going to be blessed. And they're going to want it for their children. And when you get sick, you get healed. And they're going to want healing too. Because things in this world will cause you to become sick. Even living here in this world, your body can get sick. The way you live is important. And Solomon said that the same event happens to all. To the wise man, so is the foolish. I put it this way too. The people of God and the people that's not of God. People in the world get divorces. And people that love God and go to church and do everything that they're supposed to be doing, they end up getting divorces too sometimes. People in the world can get sick. People of God get sick. But we have a healer. That's why Solomon said the same event happens to all. What's the advantage of being wise? Well, the advantage of being wise is that God is right there with you. And the life that you live, you can overcome the darkness of this world. And you can overcome satanic darkness because you love God's word. And you're living a healing process. and you represent the Lord, and they can know that all of His word is certain and true. Amen. But those who love the world, they can't realize that on their own. They need our help. How can they hear without a preacher? They need people to preach. They need people to give testimony. And they definitely need people to live the life, to arrest their attention, to give them hope. When they see the people of God having the same kind of problems, and then the people of God yield to the Lord and receive wisdom and solve the problem, they're doing it in the sight of everyone, even Christians. And it gives people hope, whether they're Christians or not. And everybody needs to conquer the world. And that's what it's all about. It's not that I'm right and you're wrong. And I don't feel good about myself if I win and others lose. I want everybody to win, because Jesus paid a high cost so that we all can win, so that we all can live godly, so that we all can enjoy the blessings and benefit, every blessing and every benefit that Jesus so graciously made possible for us. And it was the Father's will that He did. It was the Father's perfect will that He died for us. And the pain of the cross was terrible, unmentionable. It was terrible. But Jesus drank the cup anyway. He laid His life down for us, and we need to lay our life down for others by serving them, by loving them, by ministering the Word of God and doing the Word of God in our own life. Now, the Lord is not asking much of us. Spread the word. That's the good news. There's great joy in it. Give your testimony. That's good news. It's hope. And it takes people far in life, and it's a blessing. And there's great joy in it. And you'll be rewarded for it. And then live the life. Live the healing process. Receive God's best throughout your life. And when you succeed, and when you win, and when you're blessed, and when your life is redeemed again and again, when you have hope when you didn't have hope, when you are progressing forward, always honor God. Because when people see a healing life, it gives them hope. And it's not in pride. You're gonna receive great blessings from the Lord, but always honor God in it. And let people know you can receive great things from the Lord too. And those that want to know how, help them understand. This is a wonderful life. And this is the life I desire. I love God and I love His people, and I want to see everybody better off. It's not a competition. Our race is not against each other. I'm not trying to do a greater work than another. I want to do all that God gave me to do, and I hope everybody else do the same thing and do a greater job. I know that some people may not, but I don't take joy in the fact that I did more than somebody else. I just want to do what I can do. I can control me. Can't control you. I can't control others. But I can control my choices. But I would love to see others do great works. And if it's greater than mine, I thank God. Especially if I encourage them some kind of way, I feel even better. But every great work of God, I thank God for you. I thank God that you have a heart to love Him and do His will. Now, I'm out of time, but God is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. You can do all things through Him. You can do all things through Christ, who loves you, who strengthens you.